So I think the effect of overthinking got to me today, and thus why my words were slightly messed up, to say the least. I had to edit out a ton of stuff. So yeah, it was good fun otherwise. Recording Technology Gazette episode 21, which is live on talkshoe.com. I'll provide a link in the show notes, and you'll find out more information as we get into today's main show. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen. Hello there, and welcome to Technology Gazette episode 21, live on talkshoe.com. Caller ID 15120. The date today is the 10th of April 2008. I'd like to thank you very much for stopping on by to the show today. It's great to have you on if you're on the live Talkshoe discussion. If you're listening to the pre-recorded version, thank you very much for taking the time to download. I really hope this podcast is still of some use to you. I'd really appreciate any feedback on anything you've liked about the show, what you haven't liked about the show, to feedback@technologygazette.com. Or alternatively, if you want to talk about any topics that have been mentioned in today's show or other shows, then please send an email to joshchandler@technologygazette.com. And so I'll also mention those at the end of today's show, so you can contact me via email. Okay, so let's get started with today's show. So we got a good few, a little collection of stories that we're going to read. Yeah, so I just want to apologize as well for the fact that episode 20 took so long to come out. I'd edited it all up, and then obviously, as I was just explaining to the TalkShoe community, that we've actually had internet problems over here. So yeah, it took me a while to upload it, so you're going to find it a bit weird. And the problem was as well that I'd done a separate bit for the TalkShoe conversation I had with a guest who came on, and then I put it into the main feed, and suddenly it all sounded chipmunk like, and yeah, basically it was an absolute nightmare. So I offered it as a separate download, and again, that's still uploading as we speak, so it's not been fun. So anyway, let's get ahead with the first story. Okay, so the first story is from publications.mediapost.com, and it's all about the Adobe Media Player, which is obviously coming out in the near future, and they've managed to get a ad company involved with this now. Now, we know that various video networks such as Revver.com do this, Blip.tv do this, they do this dynamic three courses, I think it is, of the ad being inserted into your player. And so now this company called Cryptonic have partnered with Adobe to do this, and this you know, this collaboration they're going to have now is going to help them be in a lot stronger position with the likes of Revver, the likes of Blip.tv. So yeah, Adobe's Media Player has got a new partner for dynamic ad insertion. Okay, so the next story is from powerpage.org, and yeah, we've got some exciting news coming out still about the 3G iPhone, which, you know, it's very, very close, and I don't think Walt Mossberg was that far off with his 60-day prediction of the iPhone 3G iPhone coming out soon. So yeah, we see this article from powerpage.org talking about the fact that someone's looked into the iPhone 2.0 beta firmware, and they found some little points where it says S-Gold 3, which talks about a chip which is currently in the current iPhone, the iPhone 1. So yeah, this company called Infineon creates the current S-Gold chip for the iPhone, which is for the network basically. So yeah, there's been mention of S-Gold 3, so it looks as though we could be having the same company going ahead and making the 3G iPhone, the 3G chip anyway, not the 3G iPhone itself. So yeah, this is really exciting, and I know that the iPhone's gonna come out pretty soon, and the rumor mill never goes this crazy unless something's really coming soon. So we're gonna watch this space and expect something within, you know, maybe in 60 days as Walt Mossberg predicted, but we'll find out about that one. Okay, so the next article is from techradar.com, who I actually noticed changed their name. They were originally tech.co.uk, but they rebranded themselves, which, you know, interesting change. So yeah, if you ever go to tech.co.uk, you'll probably be either redirected or it is 404 coming up saying that it's not available. So anyway, this article from techradar.com is basically talking about how British Airways Well, obviously, if you were following the news, if you were British and trying to make out holiday from Terminal 5 in Heathrow, then you'll know exactly what this is something about. For everyone else who doesn't know, this basically was the biggest catastrophe I think BA was really not expecting. The baggage system went down, and virtually everything stopped, and no one could get out of Heathrow Terminal 5, which had recently opened. And it cost them £4.3 billion, so, you know, it's a costly mistake, but obviously a very amazing terminal inside, so I'm jealous of those people who managed to go in there. So anyway, BA did the most admirable thing I think they could have done. They went ahead and they sent 11,000 apologies to customers via SMS. So the company went ahead basically sent a load of texts to people apologising for the fact that they've had these problems, which, you know, is a really, really good way to do it, I think. A lot of people can have their phones on them all the time, and a lot of people are going to pick it up more than they will email, even sometimes, if they have their phone on them. So this is a really interesting way for BT to communicate how sorry they were. Obviously, even, you know, saving themselves paper of writing out the letters, so, you know, being eco-friendly on that whole fact. It's an interesting thing, because all this problems with Heathrow Terminal 5 has cost BA over £16 million, so, you know, it's very odd. So that's a really new thing, I think, that BA are starting to move into by apologising to people over texts. Right, okay, the next story is, again, from techradar.com. And it's all about the Opera web browser moving into Google Android. So we know that Google Android is pretty much the platform at the moment right now, alongside obviously the iPhone. But this is the open source collaboration that Google is doing now. And it's just the software, and it can be put onto anyone's device. So that's what's going to make it a lot better. And now Opera have come up with a web browser that's going to go on to the Google Android platform. So yeah, this is really exciting, because Opera are pretty much on every other platform, Symbian, Palm OS, Windows Mobile, and now they're moving on to Google Android. And as much as I would say Opera isn't the most amazing web browser, and perhaps maybe if Google Android, you know, gets lucky, they might even see incarnations of Internet Explorer or Firefox, maybe. This whole thing of Opera coming on, or Opera, or however you say it. And Opera just sounds like the chat show host. Opera is obviously as well moving away from its grassroots of being a desktop web client. And obviously, being on an Android platform, that means they're going to get plenty of chance to have people develop for them, develop applications, develop new things for the Google Android platform. And this is what really excites me about the whole thing with Google Android, and just how great it is with what you can do with the system. So yeah, that's really exciting. So Opera are moving browsing into Android. Okay, so this next article is from Gizmodo.com. And it's pretty much the most ingenious way you could protect yourself whilst driving along a car. This new thing from Ford Motoring is now introducing a traffic alert system into their 2009 cars. Now, I'll post a link in the show notes for the video of this, but basically what you do is you're driving along, and it may be that a car is driving alongside you in your blind spot, for instance. And I know I've started learning to drive recently, and it's an interesting thing to get used to, that whole making sure you've double checked. But now with this new system, you'll be able to do, instead of checking for cars, you'll just look for a red light on your dashboard, and that red light will then basically tell you whether there's any cars nearby, and it's got a little sensor in it. So it's a really fantastic idea, I think, and Ford are one major company that are really going to get behind this. It's getting further into this whole sensor thing that are in a lot of cars now, particularly for those of you who may use cars that have the reversing thing on the back, where you can just reverse back and it beeps and it tells you how far away you are. And so this whole thing of sensors is really coming to a lot of help. So this is going to make you be more aware of what's going on around you, and this little red light is going to tell you whether it's safe to move around the roads. Okay, so this next story is from pocketlint.co.uk, and the most interesting move I think a Blockbuster have decided to do all of a sudden, to reinvent themselves almost, is they're going to launch a Apple TV rival. So it's really exciting to see a Blockbuster actually trying to do something now. So basically what they're going to do is it's going to be an Apple TV rival, and it's going to be able to stream films directly to TV. So it's going to be virtually exactly the same as the Apple TV, but the fact is I think Blockbuster will probably get a lot of major backing, so that's going to be really exciting to see them on there. So Blockbuster are to launch an Apple TV rival. Okay, so this next article from newlaunches.com is basically a really interesting one, actually, for a country I didn't expect to do this. But they are now going to Australia, the one country I was talking about, are planning to lay new undersea internet cable between Australia and the USA. The 9,000-kilometer link will run from Tamara Beach to Hawaii. So further expansion of networks now across the world. Of course, we know that with all these governing bodies protecting each part of the network and running the certain parts of the network, then we know that it's a big task. And I think this new link is going to help expand the internet and make sure we're not taking up all the bandwidth. So the new cable is going to have a maximum capacity of 1.28 terabits per second, and it's going to be able to carry 160,000 concurrent high definition television channels. This is probably, as I can read here, that it is further expansion for high definition. So obviously we know we're moving into the high definition realm now. And this new cable that Australia are now building from Australia to America is going to help with this now, and it's going to save all those satellites up in the air doing the work for it. So yeah, this is going to be the largest ever built, and it's owned by an Australian company. So yeah, Australia are now going to build the longest undersea internet cable. Okay, so this next article from Engadget.com is talking all about a new Asus PC which is coming out. And the best thing about it is it's going to have a Blu-ray drive with it. It's going to be optional, which is interesting that you put in an article BD equipped. And this is probably because you... I'm talking about Engadget.com here, that probably because they just, can just do that. This new Asus mini PC is going to have 4 GB of DDR2 RAM. It's going to have a slot-loading DVD and Blu-ray optional drive, up to 1 terabyte of hard drive, a 256 graphics card, and 7.1 channel audio out. So, this is really fantastic. Asus are bringing out, another new fantastic innovation in mini PCs. And I'm really glad to see that Asus are really taking the market by storm with their mini series of stuff. So yeah, it's really exciting to see what they're doing. So yeah, you can see a bit more about it and what it looks like on the pictures at the site, Engadget.com. I'll send a link in the show notes. And also, just there's fantastic other things such as Gigabit Ethernet, Bluetooth 2.0 plus EDR. So they're doing a more advanced version of Bluetooth there. I don't think many devices have moved over to 2.0 plus EDR. I think they're mainly at 2.0. So this looks a really fantastic system. It's perfect for a home theater setup, maybe, to put it in, connect in with, external speakers and stuff. So, yeah, it's got good connections as well. Got HDMI and VGA out, so you're going to have the opportunity to connect it into your TV. And so this looks a really promising, small and easy to use mini PC. Okay, so this next article from allthingsd.com, which is the article is written up by Karis Fisher, I make that sound all German. It's not. Kara, it's one of my flaws of not being able to pronounce stuff. Right, okay, so this article is from allthingsd.com. It's talking about Yahoo's thing of trying to get rid of Microsoft's interest in them by trying to do a partnership with Time Warner or AOL. But the question has been put across in this article is whether AOL are going to have, you know, so much of their talent pool going so much if Yahoo were to get involved with them. Because obviously right now, as it's mentioned here in this article, AOL have, you know, various startups that they buy out, and they get lots of people who are coming through. They're really talented people, and it seems, according to this article, that you know, a lot of them leave immediately because they don't want to work with AOL. So I think, you know, there's a good point here that she makes about the fact that, you know, if Yahoo did come along, it could stop AOL losing so much of their fantastic talent. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's so many great opportunities for different people, and it's different needs, and AOL is obviously not providing that right now. So I don't think AOL should feel so bad about the fact they're losing all this talent pool. You know, it's innovation that they need, but you know, this whole thing with Yahoo and AOL and Time Warner is really getting on Microsoft's nerve. And you know, you've seen this violent reaction almost that Steve Ballmer has given to the whole thing about Yahoo desperately trying to find someone so that they can't do anything with Microsoft, because at the end of the day, it is their last resort. So AOL are, you know, really, you know, according to this article, perhaps really looking at perhaps patching up the water that's coming out of their big company. So that's an interesting point that she makes. Allthingsd.com. Okay, so we're now at the final article, again from allthingsd.com, and we're talking all about wireless high definition. Now, not only are we moving into wireless USB, you know, wireless HD is the new frontier that everyone's trying to move into. And yeah, this article is going on about the fact that, you know, as much as we've just been battling out about the fact of who's going to get the physical media, we've now got to decide how wireless HD is going to work. Now, obviously, wireless HD isn't going to be quite perfect yet, but you know, they've got to work at increasing the distance between the device and whichever thing you're playing off, so that you get a really strong signal, really great 1080i, 1080p high definition signal. Now, obviously, this isn't going to be easy. But this is what they're really, their main focus is on now that they've got a physical media device. Okay, anyway, let's get back to where we were. The internet is back up and running. Okay, so, yeah, as I was just saying in this article, I've also found an external link out to gigohm.com, so I'm just reading up about this now, and it's talking about the variety of wireless HD technologies there are. So there's a company out there called Cybeam who are doing this ultra-wideband technology, which will run on the 60 gigahertz band, and basically ultra wide band is the bit in between the spectrum that everyone's been fighting for over the last couple of months from the FCC, and yeah, they're hoping to fit in some wireless HD into that. So yeah, they've got to watch out and see what this does really for high definition and how people use it. Because all in all, as we move towards a more on-demand society, you know, it's one of these things that the convenience of having something wirelessly streaming, and it's great to have wirelessly streaming to Apple TV, but to have that into high definition and have all your content in high definition coming from different systems, I think is going to be really exciting. And I'd love to see a company that could do that in one device, basically, to have wireless HD built in. So perhaps we could even be seen in a future Apple TV, which obviously won't be coming too soon after we've just had Apple TV Take 2. So yeah, so that wraps up today's show. Just Piers, we've got no one on the chat today, so I won't be talking to anyone live. Remember, if you want to come on to the live discussion at talkshoe.com, please come on to talkshoe.com and enter the caller ID 15120. That's 15120. And you'll be able to chat live. Oh, this has not been a good episode. This is officially labelled my episode of not getting my words right. Okay, so this has been episode 21 of Technology Gazette live on TalkShoe. I'd like to thank you very much for stopping by. And for those listening to the recorded version after this show, thank you very much for downloading. We'll get back to some contact links I said I was going to provide at the beginning of the show. So the first contact link is, if you'd like to send any feedback about how good or how bad as this episode was, you can send all the feedback about how much this sucked today, and I understand it completely. Please send email to feedback@technologygazette.com. If you'd like to send any information or any, discussion on topics mentioned in today's show, please send an email to joshchandler@technologygazette.com. And also, you can follow me every day live on twitter.com. It's twitter.com/joshchandler. And youtube.com/technologygazette. Now you'll be finding me doing an unbox of my new wireless access point that's coming through. Hopefully it'll improve my internet situation here. And I'll be doing a live unbox of that, so you can find that at youtube.com/technologygazette. Also, you can find more information about all the shows and all the show archives at podcast.technologygazette.com. And that about does it, I think. So I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to today's show. You've been listening to Technology Gazette with me, Josh Chandler, episode 21. Bye.